Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to you may have noticed already, but things are a little different schedule-wise this morning. You have a bulletin, and we'll help guide you through it, and we'll probably stay fairly close to it. But I want to welcome you. Glad that you're here. We're going to hear from the choir. They're going to minister to us. Let me just, on behalf of the choir and all of us, and just to remind us of this, if you would, the choir is not here to put on a performance for you. They're here to minister to all of us. And it is their worship as it is ours. And we just encourage you to join in that as you hear the message that they're going to say. Speaking of the message, I want to read this for you as a call to worship, and then we'll have prayer together. I have put together three different passages, short passages from the book of Isaiah, from Isaiah's prophecy. Some of them certainly are familiar to you, but listen to what Isaiah spoke about the birth of Christ, many years before, of course, and even looking forward to this very day. Here's what Isaiah wrote. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Then I love this from the 25th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Will you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the great gift that you have given of your Son, for the demonstration of your love that can come in no other way, unimaginable as it is. Thank you for that. We desire to join together this morning in worship, Lord, as we are reminded of this great truth. Fulfillment of your word, your promise, and your promise to us. And we too, Lord, want to rejoice together in your salvation. Aid us in that as we worship you and offer you our praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now I invite you to stand together and we'll sing number 249 in your handbook.
Thank you.
just saying for us, a reminder for us that we not only want to mark the birth of our Savior, but to remember, according to the very design that God has given to us, to remember by sharing together in the Lord's Supper, just to remember that he came for this purpose, as a sacrifice for our sin. Let me read for you. This is what we read in the Scripture concerning the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same manner, we read, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And we'll just pause in the choir. We'll sing one more verse of that hymn, and we'll remember, and then we'll share together.
Thank you. often as you drink in remembrance of me.
Do you?
really the heart of Christmas. And I want to, just before we ask the men to come and we receive the offering, we have our closing hymn, I just want to remind us of that again, to say that what we have just heard, what a great reminder for us. You know, from the very beginning, when I speak about the beginning of man, we go back to the Garden of Eden, the first man and woman, but also the first sin. God's creation corrupted by that first choice of sin, but it came also, right on the heels of that came God's wonderful promise that he would provide a way to redeem his creation, that is, redeem us. His promise that was echoed by prophets all through the centuries. For centuries, the prophets kept repeating this promise that God had given, the renewed and the affirmed promise of God that he would send a redeemer, that he would provide a way of salvation, of restoration of that creation, that he would erase, literally, the sin, that he would remove the curse of sin from this earth and from individual hearts. What we just heard was an affirmation of that. When we started the service, I read to you from the prophet Isaiah, and let me read again because this is a wonderful thing that Isaiah said. Listen to it in light of that now. It will be said in that day, behold, this is our God, the baby who was born, what we celebrate at his birth, that baby, that this is our God. It will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. Do you get the note of confidence in that statement? He will save us. This is the Lord. It's hard for us to imagine how that could be, thinking of a baby. And the tragedy of Christmas is probably in that we stop our thinking in a manger. You know, we stop thinking only, we see him only as a baby, but the reality is, he's much more. This is our Lord. What Isaiah told us, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And God's promise was fulfilled. The beginning of that fulfillment, I suppose, is what we celebrate in Christmas. And that's the real heart, that he sent the Savior. The Apostle Paul confirmed the same thing. Affirmed, I should say, the same thing by inspiration of the Spirit when he wrote in 1 Timothy, when he said this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, I don't mean to be offensive to any of you when I say this, but that includes you. It includes me. It includes all of us. Because what we read is that we are all born into sin. But just as sin came into the world by a choice of our first parents, salvation comes to each one of us by a free choice of each individual. And God has brought that to us in the song that we just heard about how God is making all things new. That means that he begins that work inside of each one of us. And he begins beginning that work inside of us, and he gives us that new heart, a new life, eternal life, he calls it. And God has given that to us. Christ Jesus came into the world. Paul says it's a trustworthy statement, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, provide that way of redemption for all of us. Now, we have today, just in these few moments that we've been together, we've heard that affirmed, we've heard that testified to by reading of the scriptures, by the hymns that you have already sung, one you will yet sing, by the choir and their wonderful ministry to us has given us, reminded us of that same message. And together we have borne witness to that by sharing together in the Lord's Supper. A reminder that not only did Christ come into the world, but he gave his body and he shed his blood. Think that there was no reason for that except the need that we have of salvation and the great love and the great grace of God. That's God's gift to us. That, my friends, is the heart of Christmas. And I stand here before you now just to ask you to ponder that, even in quiet moments as we share together in an offering. But before we go, and after we go, consider this, ponder this carefully. But when we celebrate Christmas, we mark the birth of the Lord Jesus coming into this world, taking on humanity. But know this, please, he did that for you. He did that to remove the curse and break the strength of sin. The chains are breaking and hurting. And God did that for you. He did that for each one of us. And by that personal choice, you too can fulfill Isaiah's promise and prophecy when he said,
we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And I desperately hope that you are here this morning in your heart. You are glad and you're rejoicing because you know of his salvation in a very personal way. We have the men come and we'll receive God. That's great. Father, thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord. We are glad. We are given the pleasure and the joy of hearing good music, of hearing the singing, even just of being together. And Lord, we rejoice in the celebration of the birth of our Savior. But we want to rejoice and we want all of our families, our friends, Lord, we want the world as you do to know the gladness, the relief that comes with your salvation. Thank you for that wonderful gift. Enlighten us, Lord, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The world, the Savior. Christmas Day means, Father, not just the birth of the Son, but eternal God's gift to man, that you would love us so much that you would seek to save us. We thank you. Let us remember you in all of these things, Lord. And we pray that your will be done through us, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.